Hey, folks, welcome to episode 81 of the GVG Cast, and happy Friday. I'm your host for today, Ash Paulson, and I'm joined by the one and only Steve Bowling, my amazing GVG partner in arms.
Howdy.
Only Steve. The rest of the team is busy and otherwise engaged today, so you got the two of us today. Steve, how's it going, my man?
Yeah, it's going good. I'm sad that I missed our 30th anniversary, but as you know now, I was busy.
Yeah.
Putting together that review for the PlayStation Portal, which I had like 3 days to turn that around. So I had to take that Friday while you guys were podcasting. I was in my kitchen. So for those of you that don't know, I was in my kitchen and I had clamped a camera to my kitchen counter and was playing my PlayStation Portal on top of four sheets of construction paper. So I was doing stuff. It was really fun though. I'm trying to get, like, now that I have a lot more space, I'm trying to get really experimental with how I shoot videos. So that was the first of many to be shot in the kitchen, I think. But yeah, we'll see. And thank you. I saw a compliment on the unboxing, which is to date our most successful unboxing ever. I recently purchased at Brandon's suggestion, and I say recently, but it was like 7 months ago, I purchased some microphones. Some wireless microphones that like clip on. It's the same one that Ash and I wore at PAX. I like them so much that I asked Brandon where he got them and he pointed me in the right direction, but I used them for the first time solo to make that unboxing video. And I gotta say, I'm a big fan of being able to just shoot wherever I want. That to me is a really cool idea. But it's way more work than it looks, because behind the camera, there was like two huge lights. Like it took over the whole upstairs of my house. Would not recommend for a casual shoot.
Well, but man, I mean, the effort was clearly worth it, because not only obviously are your PlayStation Portal videos awesome because you made them and you are awesome, our audience, as we've been noting, has been really turning out in support of our PlayStation content lately, and that's been really nice to see.
Yeah, it has been. I mean, for a while there, I was a little worried, given where we all came from, that our audience would just be like, that's not Nintendo. In fact, a while back when the PlayStation Portal was first revealed or given its name, I tweeted something about it, and Greg Miller dropped in my replies, and he told me, this isn't Nintendo, get out of here. And I was like,
yeah,
damn,
that's
it.
So funny.
But
good old Greg.
Yeah. Of course he means it all in jest. Greg's a cool guy, but it just goes to show, like, that is kind of the rep that we've carried through the years. So, you know, it's good to see. I appreciate all of you that come out and watch our non-Nintendo content, because that is, obviously we all love and are going to continue to cover Nintendo, but we want to show equal love to everything. If it's a good game, we don't care what it's on.
Exactly.
And so it's really cool to see people show up and have that same energy for our content.
I don't know about you, but I'm assuming you feel the same way, because I do I've had it sometimes before where people, because of where we came from, just kind of assume, oh, you only like Nintendo. You don't care about PlayStation. And that drives me crazy, because I love games wherever they come from. And I've been a like 90% as big a PlayStation fan from their very inception, from, you know, being a kid, as I have been a Nintendo fan. Like, I'm all about playing games wherever they're at.
Right.
And,
it's really funny, in particular with you, because, I mean, you wear that Kingdom Hearts necklace every day. And that is that's decidedly, like, it's not necessarily like a PlayStation or Nintendo franchise, but it's definitely way more on the PlayStation side.
Well, see, actually, I hate to be that guy, but it's actually a Final Fantasy X necklace, and that's even more on the PlayStation side.
Yeah, but still, I mean, you're just making my point stronger. Like, it's very much not a Nintendo thing. And I will say, as somebody, you know, with the holidays approaching, I don't know about you, Ash, but when I get a gift from someone who kind of knows me, like knows just enough about me, it's always like a Mario thing or like a straight up like first party Nintendo thing. And I'm like, I contain multitudes, man. I mean, I'll take this Mario gift and be very happy, but I've gotten enough 8-bit Mario merch to last me a lifetime at this point.
No, I'm right there with you. I totally got you. And I mean, of course, if I get any gift from anybody who cares about me, I always appreciate it.
Right.
But yes, they do tend to skew on the Nintendo side. I'm like, I love a lot of other non-Nintendo franchises, I swear. Speaking of, one of the games I've been playing recently is Spider-Man Miles Morales, which is unsurprisingly excellent. Excellent.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been playing it just to, you know, obviously, you know, I don't want to go into Spider-Man 2 without having played all of Miles Morales. So I've been working my way through that. And I'm kind of playing that, and of course, Super Mario RPG, which we'll be talking about soon, concurrently. And yeah, I know we have a lot to say about that, but before that, I want to talk about something else that is just as cool as Super Mario RPG, and that is our amazing sponsor, the Game Orb. The Game Orb is a YouTube and Twitch channel that brings commentary and gameplay footage from the Nintendo Switch and Xbox Series X gaming systems. You can find over a whopping 235 hours of content on his YouTube channel, ranging from conventions for the last 2 years, Splatoon, Fall Guys, and even older videos like Super Mario Bros. 35, Portal, and Rocket League. So if you want to support him on YouTube and or Twitch, we've got links to both channels in the description. So please, as always, like I say every week, do go subscribe, follow him on YouTube and Twitch, show him all the love you can, because he has shown us all the love from the very beginning of GVG's existence and supported us so much on our Patreon. So please do
Can I
show him some
plug
love.
something we're working on? I never plug
Yeah.
stuff that we're working on here at
Of
GVG.
course.
For those of you that don't know, today is November 17th. And on Tuesday, it'll be November 21st, which is important because that is the date that Ocarina of Time turns 25 years
Hell
old.
yeah.
And behind the scenes now, for a couple of weeks, I've been reaching out to people all across the industry to get their thoughts, their impressions, and what they feel of the legacy of Ocarina of Time. And today, I had one of the most thrilling interviews in that series. I sat
Nice.
down with Per Schneider from IGN. And if you don't know Per has been there since the beginning. Per is one of the founders of IGN. And he is really important to this process because he reviewed Ocarina of Time in 1998. And so I got to sit down with him for about a half hour and ask him what it was like and find out some really cool bits of Nintendo history that I, being somebody who this is like one of my favorite games of all time, never knew about the game.
That's awesome.
I got to hear about what it was like to review Nintendo games in the 90s, which is whatever you think, it's crazier than what you think. I promise you,
Oh, yeah,
it is way crazier than you think. I'm
I
talking like FBI level surveillance crazy. There's hardware, Nintendo hardware that I've never heard of. It's a lot of stuff. So, we're gonna have that video ready for you guys on the 21st. It will be a heavily edited version. I'm not gonna play the whole 30-minute interview,
Right.
but I will be putting clips of it out there for you guys to check out. And it's not just Pear. We got Kit and Krista. We got some folks from Kinda Funny. We have people from
Easy
IGN,
allies.
Easy Allies.
Yep.
It's basically the game industry talking about Ocarina of Time. It's a labor of love, not just from me, but from all of us here at GVG. And I can't wait for you guys to see it. We're still pulling the things together, but 11/21, watch this
Yeah.
space. It's going to be great.
I am so excited about that. I Ocarina of Time is such a formative game for me, like I know it is, of course, for you and for so many people out there. And I have so many just vivid and uniquely personal special memories connected to that incredible, wonderful game. And I'm so excited just to get on camera and talk my guts out about it. Not for too long, because we have so many people featured in the video, but talk my guts out about it, because I just love Ocarina of Time to death, and that game holds such special meaning for me, as I know it does so many of you out there, and of course you as well, Steve.
Yeah, can't wait. Can't wait. Can't wait. I haven't recorded my bit either yet. So
Right.
I'm going to gush and then just hand it to Brandon and be like, "Trim it down to the
Yeah.
important bits."
I'm gonna stay as truncated as possible so as to not give Brandon more work to the extent that I can, because that man already works too hard. So,
Yes. True, true.
really quick before we move on and talk about what I know we've both been playing, we do have a couple of patron birthday shout outs today. Happy birthday to Pigbat, who is celebrating their birthday today. So happy, happy birthday. And
Happy
then happy
birthday.
almost birthday to Critter XD, who is celebrating their birthday on Sunday. So happy birthday to both of you, and I hope you spend it playing lots of video games and eating lots of food and hanging out with friends and family and all that good stuff that you do on your birthday.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. So now I know it's time, Steve. We of course I put Gino and Ellie in our thumbnail today, because the theme of the day, the theme of the week, but really the day, is remasters and remakes, because today is the release of the Super Mario RPG remake. Of course, I know plenty of you in our audience are already playing it as well. But then, of course, like barely an hour and a half ago, we got the announcement, or the leak, really, not the announcement, the leak, and then subsequent announcement of The Last of Us Part 2 remastered via a PlayStation Network leak. But we're going to get to that, because that's part of our news for the week. But right now, I just want to talk a little bit about Super Mario RPG. I assume you've been playing it alongside me for the past, day-ish, half a day.
So
Yeah.
I have been playing it since about 10 this morning. I fell
Nice.
asleep early last night. I had a kind of friend night with my buddy Nick, so we played Fortnite Save the World, which has convinced me that I need to do a video on what happened to that mode. But I didn't hop on the 9 p.m. train for Super Mario RPG,
Okay.
but I did pick it up this morning. I've been playing it, and oh boy, it is
Yeah.
so good. So good.
It is pretty damn special. So I was able to, I was lucky. I was able to get a slightly street date broken copy here in LA yesterday. And then I didn't think I was going to get to play it until late night because I was supposed to have early Thanksgiving dinner with my parents. And those plans fell through. So I actually did get to play. And you guys, some of you may have already seen, I put a little bit of a little first 25 minutes of the game video up on the channel. If you've already checked that out, thank you very much. But yeah, so then I went back last night. I went back to playing more of it, and I'm up to about Rose Town now. It's I'm definitely remembering how quick the game goes. It's obviously not a super long game, but man, every second of it is just so charming and so special. And what a faithful, loving remaster, right?
Yeah, it is incredible how, like, I mentioned this in our preview of it, that we all got to attend, but it's incredible how faithful they are in terms of the animations and sound design and everything. It feels
Yeah.
like a 16-bit game just completely, for lack of a better term, like up-resed. Even though it's clearly a ground-up remake, it feels like if this is what the technological bar was set at in the 16-bit era, that this is the exact game we would have gotten.
Yeah. I agree, and it makes me think, like, because we have these late, mid to late 90s, early era CG graphics redone in this style. And I agree. Had we had the technology at that time, I think this is very much along the lines of what it would have looked like. But that also got me thinking, imagine if the same kind of treatment were done to like Donkey Kong Country, right?
Right.
Imagine if we got that same visual facelift, that same glow up in that same early CG style to what Mario RPG Remake looks like today. Like imagine DKC2 remade in this style. It would be gorgeous.
Oh, that would be nuts, man. I mean, they have a God, what's his name? Like the imprisoned Kong in Super Mario RPG.
Gorilla Kong. It's called Gorilla, right?
Is it? I
Like
can't.
GU, like
I
Gorilla.
think you
Like
might
it's
be
really
right,
clever.
but I mean,
Yeah.
he looks he's like Donkey
Oh, there
Kong,
are two of
like
them. It's Chain Kong and
Ch
Gorilla. There are
I'm thinking
two
Chained
different
Kong,
Chain
right?
Kong. Yeah.
But he just looks like he that made me think of like what would it be like if we got a DKC game,
Oh,
with the
that
same
would be awesome.
visual splendor to it. It would be incredible. But yeah, I'm really surprised at how incredibly faithful this is. If you don't know, and it's the first thing I did, and I'm a little ashamed to admit it, but early on in the game, you go to the castle, right? And you
I
have to
know
go see the
exactly what you're talking
chancellor.
about.
Yeah, and you, of course, I'm like, I'm gonna beeline for Peach's room. I'm gonna find the thing,
The thing.
and we all kind of project our ourselves into like what it is we think that is, but I think we can all kind of agree it's something you're not supposed to find, and
Exactly.
it's still there, and I
Yep.
was shocked.
I was so glad that they kept some of the cheekier elements of the game in there too. Like not only that, but re so some really choice lines in there. Like one of the early villains says to Mario, "How about a fat lip to go with that ugly mustache?" And it's just so good. The cheekier elements of this game have been preserved, thankfully, including Peach's unmentionable, whatever it may be. And I completely agree. I'm so happy they kept that kind of edgier element of this game. And just playing it, I'm looking at the box next to me right now. I got the box right here, and I'm just looking at this, and I'm like, I can't believe we're actually playing a remake of Super Mario RPG in 2023. This is a game that I never thought Nintendo would revisit beyond the occasional port to like NSO or
Right.
classic system or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really amazing that we have this and that, I mean, it still blows my mind that it's this faithful, that it's this
Yeah.
incredibly faithful, especially I think, oh no, right. There was this thought, I remember when the Thousand Year Door remake trailer came out, people thought maybe the gallows were gone, and then it was confirmed that they
They're
were
there.
still there. So I'm impressed that Nintendo is not shying away from their own controversial decisions in the past, because I mean, if anything, they have become a lot more lax. Like, it's funny for us to be talking about Peach's, you know, XXX or question mark, depending on which version you're playing, where they published games or they allowed games to be published on their platform, like Mad World in the Wii era, which was literally just a murder simulator, or Manhunt, which was also on the Wii. Like, these are games that, you know, in the broader context of everything Nintendo has allowed on their platforms, they're harmless. But it does feel weird to be getting it directly from Nintendo, for them not to have sanitized this in some way. And I appreciate that as someone who, you know, like I said, I knew that was there and I beelined for it, thinking I wouldn't find it. And I was like,
yeah,
I was very impressed. I was like, good on you guys for keeping this in. This is exactly the kind of joke I think you wouldn't let in. Like, you know, obviously Nintendo, I want them to take it a step further now. I want Captain Rainbow to come out with the with the Birdo reference in there, if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I absolutely do. And, you know, it's funny. Nintendo have never been able to quite shake that reputation when indeed they really should have, because you were citing games that came out so long ago now, like Mad World, for example. And the fact that even, you know, they course corrected for Mortal Kombat 1 on SNES pretty quickly. And then we had Mortal Kombat 2, and it was perfectly faithful, and it was the best version of that game for that reason. And, you know, it had all the violence and gore and everything. But you can even just go and play, you know, what should be a family-friendly game like Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. And I, you know, as you know, I play Fall Guys and Rocket League every week with my friends. We have, like, a gaming night like you do with Nick. But I consistently see less moderated, less kid-friendly usernames on Mario Kart 8 Deluxe than I do on Fall Guys or Rocket League, and I'm playing both of those on PlayStation. But like, I was having a fight a partner session for our Patreon tier with one of our good friends, Adam O'Sullivan. We were playing Mario Kart, and we came across all sorts of unmentionable usernames that kids are just going to come across. Like, Nintendo's not even trying to moderate this stuff anymore, and yet they still have that reputation for squeaky cleanliness that really isn't true of them anymore.
Yeah, well, it is interesting. They definitely are not the Nintendo of the 16-bit era, despite how great Super Mario RPG is in being faithful to that time. Mm-hmm. But it is kind of weird. Like, they don't moderate in-game nearly as much, but every Switch OS update comes with, like, a new... Like every time you dig into them, you find out some dirty words were added to the filter that you can't use. Yeah. And I think it's just... the hackers and the modders staying one step ahead of Nintendo on this one. Like, they, because I mean, as far as I know, I haven't, you know, modded a Switch, but as far as I know, with a modded Switch, you can get around all that stuff. Because I remember years ago, there was a scandal in which people were just uploading, like, porn as, like, their user icon on the Switch for a while. So I'm guessing that Nintendo found a way to stop people from uploading, like, nasty images, but I don't think they ever solved getting around their own word filter.
Yeah.
But yeah, I see wild stuff on the Switch, like, in usernames all the time.
Exactly. I'm still kind of consistently aghast at some of the things I see when I'm playing something like Mario Kart. But before I move on to one more thing about Mario RPG, I have to call this out. Shadow the Cat 88 donated a $50 super chat.
Oh wow. My
god, thank you so much, Shadow the Cat. That is incredibly generous of you. You said hello, wanted to say thank you guys for the amazing content you do. Just finished Final Fantasy 16 and watching credits as we speak. The ending was everything I thought it would be, and glad I finally finished it. Well, I'm really glad to hear someone really excited about it, because I don't hear a lot of positive things, at least overtly positive things, about 16, and I still have to find time myself to go and play it. But I want to, because it's still Final Fantasy at the end of the day, and you saying that gives me a little hope that I'm gonna like it more.
Go into full shill mode. This thing is great for playing RPGs on the PS5.
Oh, of course, yeah.
I will. I'm much more inclined, weirdly enough, to play them if there's, like, TV in the background or something.
Uh huh.
So I'll pick up a game like Final Fantasy 16 or Star Ocean 2, and those.
Star Ocean is so good. That demo is so good.
I need to play. I haven't cracked the seal on it yet, but I have it. Caitlin in chat, battery life on the portal, pretty good. Like, four-ish hours, in my opinion.
I regret not having enough time as yet to play Star Ocean 2 R properly because I played the demo and it is, I never got to play the original back on PS1, but it's one of my
Same.
best friend's favorite games of all time. It's always been something I've known that I would like, but I played the demo and it is so my thing, capital M, capital T. It is just so my thing. It is as anime as you can absolutely get with it, and the era it's from is it's represented so faithfully in this remake, despite the glow up. God, I want to play it so bad. It's
Right.
really, really good. Yeah.
I can't wait. I cannot wait to give that a proper shot. I'm right now I'm in this stage where we're getting real close to end of the year, where
Right.
it's what we call in the industry awards season. Like
Yep.
it's basically that time where you make your short list of games you have to finish to put them in contention for various awards that you're going to give out at the end of the year. And GVG, we do awards. We did
Yeah.
2022 awards and we're going to do 2023 awards.
Indeed.
And I've played most of the big games. Tears of the Kingdom, Spider-Man 2. I've even tried Baldur's Gate, which I'm gonna reset and try again because I've heard it's a lot better single player than it is co-op.
Okay.
So I'm gonna try single player because what I discovered was some of the things that I disliked about it were caused by the fact that Nick and I were stepping on each other's toes during our playthrough. So
I see.
I'm gonna give it a fair shake. But then Star Ocean 2R, is it 2R? Yeah. Star
Yeah, 2R.
Ocean Sea of Stars, which I need to finish. I'm pretty deep into that. And then
Yeah.
I don't know how far I'm gonna get into Starfield, but it's I feel like I need to give that a little more time too. So and then there's games that just came out like the Naruto game, Super Mario RPG is definitely gonna get finished before end of the year. So
Right.
lots of
And I
stuff.
can't wait to talk more Sea of Stars with you when you're further into the game or finish it. Speaking of BC King Games in our YouTube chat says, Ash, your buddy Roger Space does not like Sea of Stars. I got a few tweets about this too. And guys, it's okay. I love Roger, and it's okay that he
Yeah.
doesn't like Sea of Stars. We don't have to like the same things. He can be wrong about this. It's okay. No.
Just like I can be wrong about One Piece. I don't like One
Yeah,
Piece at all,
exactly.
and Homeboy loves that stuff.
But no,
So.
I still love Roger. And Sea of Stars isn't perfect. I have my own issues with it, even though I still think it's great on the whole. But hey, if Roger hates it, that's fine. We're still friends. I still love him. It is okay. We can be friends and like different games. It's totally cool. All right, one more thing about Mario RPG before we move on. You know I have to mention this. Obviously, I've been looking forward to the remastered music, and
Oh, yeah.
we are being so spoiled. It is everything I could have hoped for and more. And some songs, like the world map theme, they're just new songs entirely. They're like the original version was just a short loop, right? Now it's that you've got all these new layers of instrumentation and segments of the song before it loops. Like some of these songs are entirely new compositions now, and it's been so fun to discover that as I go along.
Yeah, so far, I mean, I've not. My experience is really limited. I made it as far as the castle, and then I had to put it down and
Yeah.
continue on with my day. But I'm going to be playing it for a huge chunk of the night tonight, just to get some, because it's one of those games where it's like I just adore it so much. I go
Yeah.
out of my way to get into combat encounters because they're so enjoyable to play. You
Yeah.
know, the story is absolutely killer. I if I had to rank them, you know, and I've played very few of the Mario RPGs, but this would be top of the stack for me every time.
Yeah.
And I know that you and I differ in that, but it's just, to me, it's such a good game. I described it earlier in this week as like, if you took Mario out of Super Mario RPG, the fundamentals of this game are strong enough that I'd still want to play it. And to me, that puts it above every other Mario RPG out there. But
I
it's
mean,
good to have a 16-bit style RPG that I can just, you know, sit down with.
well, and you're really eating now because you're playing this and Sea of Stars at the
Yeah.
same
I
time,
know
which are
my
just,
Switch is
yeah.
getting playtime like no other. I had to put Sea of Stars down to review the PlayStation Portal, and it
Right.
really makes me wish that I had gotten Sea of Stars on the PS5 so I could keep
Yeah.
using this cool piece of hardware.
But no, even if we do, like, yes, I might put the Thousand Year Door at the top of my stack of Mario RPGs, but it's not like a wide gulf. It's like Super Mario RPG and then like right above it. It's like not a wide gulf at all. But I hear you. There are so many arguments for your favorite of the of all the Mario RPGs being, in fact, Super Mario RPGs. So even if we do differ, it's not by much. It's just barely for me. The Thousand Year Door wins out. But I'll be curious to see how I feel after the remaster of that comes out too.
Yeah.
Maybe my thoughts will change after having played both remasters because I'm having an amazing time, obviously, with this. So we do have a few super chats to read out, and then we'll go ahead and get on to our news for the day. And first off, we have a trio of super chats from Disney Duncan. Thank you so much, as always. $2 each, $6 total. Thank you. First off, have you seen the Mortal Kombat 1 Holiday Fatalities? I have not. What about you? I want to. I didn't know about them, actually.
I have, and they're so funny. They're a ripoff. They are a ripoff, but they're like at $10.
That's
So WB, if you bought the Halloween Fatality, which is objectively hilarious. So I'm not going to get too gruesome with it, but basically he grabs up a jack-o'-lantern off the ground, slams it on your head, and Ash, you're not going to like this part, but all kinds of bugs come out of it and like just eat you to death. And when your character falls, when the enemy falls to his knees, he like soccer kicks your head off with the jack-o'-lantern still on there. And that's funny on its own, but then it cuts to like a house. And the pumpkin with the head in it hits the front door, and then you hear the doorbell ring.
That's amazing. See,
which is so good.
Nothing says the holiday spirit like fatalities, right? I didn't know about these. I knew about the premium fatalities. They were, I think there was like a Halloween premium fatality they sold, and that pissed off the community, and rightly so, I think. I did not know there were further premium fatalities
So they've announced a Thanksgiving fatality, which I've seen, which is really gross.
I gotta look all these up.
Gross.
Yeah.
And there's supposed to be a Christmas fatality. Now, if you bought the Halloween fatality at that $10 price point, they are giving you the other two for free because they're rethinking how much these all cost. Because
people
rightly pointed out that Omni-Man, a whole character, was $8, but a single fatality was $10.
That is absurd. Really need to be rethinking that. And I myself will just be watching all of them on YouTube. Thanks.
Yeah, I won't describe. So I've seen the Thanksgiving fatality. For those of you asking in chat, if you want to see it, I'm just going to direct you to go to Twitter and find it. Because even describing that one is probably a little too gross for most of our it's really gross. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Next up, Duncan's asking, do we think we'll see a Mortal Kombat 1 fighter reveal for the Game Awards? I can see it.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be a reveal. It would be proper presentation. Probably Homelander, right?
Yeah. Because I think did we get a date for The Boys season 4?
I don't know. I just know
it's definitely going to go in.
That would make
line
sense.
With that.
I just know that, and this pertains to their third super chat, that Anthony Starr, who plays Homelander in the show, is not returning to voice him.
Yeah.
For Mortal Kombat 1. So I don't know if that necessarily means that he's going to be next. Who knows? But I could totally see the next proper presentation of one of the fighters being at the Game Awards. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be Homelander. And the reason I say that is we still don't have a date for season 4 of The Boys.
Okay. Okay.
So I would assume that we're going to get like one of the other characters, probably one of the original Mortal Kombat characters. Like Quan Chi or something. Yeah. Where they don't pin it to a particular release. I mean, even the trailer kind of seemed to imply that Homelander would probably be the last one because they had all the characters and then Homelander kind of floats above.
He kind of floats in. True.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. Well, we'll see, but I wouldn't be surprised to see the next one at the Game Awards at all. Yeah.
Yeah.
Next up, €5 from Jackoman. Thank you very much. Just want to give a shout out to John's Bluey video game review. Has me curious about checking out the show. Yeah, our compatriot John did review Bluey the video game. It is up on the channel right now, so definitely go check that out. Not right now, of course, because we're here doing this and having fun with you guys. But after the show, go check it out. Thank you, Jackoman. And then finally, $5 from Duck Lizard. Thank you so much. What other 16-bit RPGs do you think would work better with 3D models instead of HD 2D?
Oh gosh,
that's I mean, I already kind of went into DKC2, which of course is a platformer, but man,
an RPG with 3D models, I don't like that idea, because HD 2D is like one of my favorite stylistic choices ever. I don't
like
know
it. It works for Super Mario RPG because of it originated in that 90s CG style, but I wouldn't want to see like Chrono Trigger done in that style. I'd rather see HD 2D for
Chrono
Trigger.
Alpha Lion nailed it for me. Earthbound and Link's Awakening.
Style. Oh, Earthbound, obviously.
That would be
Earthbound's
really good.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mother
3
is getting a 3D remake that I've seen. I don't know what the legitimacy of that is, but I've seen multiple screenshots of a Mother 3 3D remake on Twitter, which I know would be a fan project. I'm not saying that it's legitimate as in a Nintendo project, but
yeah.
I don't know if somebody's actually developing a game or just remaking screenshots in Unity or whatever.
Earthbound is the perfect candidate for that. And not only done in that, like they could go full claymation style with it. Like they did
somebody
with the original
just said
models
the same
for
thing,
Earthbound.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Like Hendrix Trump just said, yeah. So Earthbound is the perfect candidate for that. I agree. Yeah, that one and done. Very good. I'm kind of annoyed that I had to think about that myself right away.
Right,
Good.
same.
Well done, Alpha Lion. Well done. All right. Well, keeping things on the remake train, we do have, or remaster train, we do have another one to talk about. That, of course, is The Last of Us Part Two Remastered, which just leaked today via a PlayStation Network leak. I think it was first broken by Wario64 on Twitter. And Sony have since just officially announced the thing. They've released the official trailer. They've told us it's coming on January 19th, 2024. And also, and here's the thing that you were saying, Steve, that you don't know if people necessarily realize yet. You can get this thing for a $10 upgrade if you own the original
Yeah.
PS4 version. This is not like The Last of Us Part One slash Remastered, where it was like you had to pay full price. Like, you can just pay a slight upgrade fee here.
Yeah, see, I can understand being upset if you're asked to pay another $70 for this
Totally.
because the game is only 3 years old, or yeah, it'll still only be just over three when this comes out. But at $10, it's really hard to argue against, in my opinion. Like, if you like
I
the game,
agree. Yeah.
if you liked it enough to get a digital copy of The Last of Us Part Two, then the digital upgrade for $10 is like nuts because you get developer commentary, which I'm kind of 50-50 on in games, but you get like cut levels and this roguelike
That's what's
mode
really cool
and a
to
whole
me.
lot of other stuff. I'm like, that is really cool. This is kind of above and beyond where they're adding cut content to it that you can play.
Yeah.
So it's really an interesting bet. Obviously, The Last of Us Part Two has proven to be a pretty polarizing game. I've already seen people in chat here tonight saying like it's the worst story they've ever heard in a video game, stuff like that. But I personally liked the game a lot. Like, I was
Same.
in love with it. I thought it told a really cool like revenge narrative. I thought that it went places that was just kind of crazy. Like, it told a really gut-wrenching story that really resonated with me. So I don't know. I personally, I'm on board. $10 is not a lot to ask for this stuff. I want to see the content they cut out. I'm
Yeah.
interested kind of in the roguelike mode, but even just a visual upgrade to the game is cool enough for me for $10.
Yeah, that's the main thing for me is, I mean, just the visual upgrade alone is probably worth it. I mean, my main barrier of entry for me is just it's yet another game that I just don't really have to, I gotta, really, I don't have that much time to stuff all these games in and replay. Remasters. RPG is a bit different because it's a full-on remake of a, 16-bit game. I just don't necessarily know that I have time for another remaster in January. This is like a week before Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth comes out or something too. It's crazy.
Yep.
So that's the main barrier of entry to me. But in terms of $10 for everything you're getting here, like there's way more being added here on top of the original than we got in The Last of Us Part One.
Yeah.
That was way more. And like you were saying, Steve, for me, the Lost Levels thing alone kind of is worth the price tag for me. $10 to explore pre-release versions of cut levels from the final game. I think that shit's super cool.
Oh yeah, and to be clear, I would like that in any game.
Anything.
Like, I
Yeah.
love seeing what developers didn't think was good enough the first time around. Like, if you're going to repackage a game and sell it to me again, this is the way to get me to buy it, is to include stuff that you didn't include in the original release. Like, stuff that was worked on and reasonably complete that, you just for whatever reason didn't make it into the game. If you give me that, I'm all for it. I'll buy the game just to check that out. Like, could you imagine if we got Sonic 3 with like a new zone that they had made in the
Oh
90s?
my
I'd
God. Well,
die.
yeah, we kind of got a version of that with the Taxman version of Sonic 2 on
Right.
mobile originally with them adding Hidden Palace back in, and that was so cool. I love stuff like that. So yeah, do this to any game and I'm pretty much into it. But yeah, like you, I enjoyed The Last of Us Part 2. I thought it was a little long for me. I think it could have been a little shorter for my tastes personally, but I still really enjoyed it. And had I, or if I do have the time sometime next year, I'd be happy to revisit it with all these new bells and whistles for sure. But yeah, I
Yeah.
think a $10 upgrade fee is perfectly reasonable for what you're getting here.
Yeah, $10, and I mean they're gonna probably charge the full 70. I didn't check, but I'm sure if like you haven't bought in, it's $70, which
Oh,
is
I'm
kind of par
sure.
for the course now.
Yeah.
But again, like if you pay, I mean honestly, the move here is to buy it on PS4 at a really low price
Yeah,
and then
it
upgrade it
is.
for $10, which is what people have done for a lot of these $10 upgrades.
Right. All right. Well, it is not only remaster time of the year, but also the Game Awards time of the year, or almost. It is almost Jeff Keighley time. The Game Awards.
Time for a world premiere counter.
World premiere. It's a world premiere. I think it's on December 3rd, 7th, 7th. So the Game Awards are coming up in like 3 weeks on December 7th. And earlier this week, we did get our final nominees for each category. Of course, most importantly, being Game of the Year. And I think none of us are really that surprised at what they ended up being. And just to make it clear for everybody, it's Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Spider-Man 2, Resident Evil 4 Remake, Super Mario Brothers Wonder, and of course, The Legend of Zelda: Tears of the Kingdom. And there are a couple of slight surprises on here for me, maybe one slight surprise, but overall, this was pretty much right in line with I'm certainly what I was thinking, and I'm guessing pretty close to what you were thinking too, right?
Yeah, I think the one that surprised me the most was Baldur's Gate 3. Like, not necessarily that it's there. But actually, I'm going to backpedal on that statement. Now that I'm kind of digesting these again, Mario Wonder is probably the biggest surprise to me
That's
that
my
one
biggest
because
surprise too.
we've talked about it in the past. We've talked about there being a Game Awards friendly game, and normally it's like a grim dark guy with a gun kind of game. It's certainly not something colorful and cheerful and happy and full of that Nintendo kind of energy. And so seeing Mario Wonder get in there is surprising, not just because of that, but also because Starfield did not get nominated. And if you had asked me in the run-up to Starfield releasing, I would have said that's easily a Game of the Year nomination. People are buzzing about this game, and it had the internet in its thrall for like a week. And then once that week was over, Starfield seemed to disappear from the discourse entirely. And maybe that's why it didn't earn the nomination. But it is
It
really weird to me
definitely
that that
lost
was
a lot of
like,
steam very quickly, Starfield.
yeah, it's weird that that was like the game that Xbox very publicly pinned their hopes on, and that it just kind of faltered and didn't make its way out of the gate. Like, I heard nobody say out and out, it's a bad game and I hate it. But it also just didn't remain in the public eye for nearly as long as I would have expected, given kind of the expectations heaped on it. And I think that it kind of shows, I mean, this is a longer conversation, but Bethesda's game design is not holding up to the test of time. Like, I think it's one thing when you look at Skyrim and you're like, product of its time, very good game. But when you look at a game released in 2023 that is like Space Skyrim, people are like, I kind of expected fewer seams in the experience.
It definitely lost steam quickly, and I agree with you though. Like in the lead up to Starfield's release, I would have predicted Starfield would be in these among these nominees over Mario Wonder. But it's a pretty, I think, pretty safe, obvious list with a couple of exceptions. Like we were saying, Mario Wonder's kind of a surprise. Are there any games, if this was a list of nominees for you personally, and not what's going to appeal to potentially the widest net? But for you personally, are there any swaps that you would want to
Oh,
make?
100%. I mean, it's a Game
I figured.
Awards list. I would change the heck out of it. A Pikmin 4 would be in there for sure. And Baldur's Gate 3 would not. Spider-Man 2 is obvious. Tears of the Kingdom is obvious. Those are my two kind of front runners. Mario Wonder, in my opinion, does deserve its place in there, because it was one of, if not the most enjoyable game I played this year. The only one I don't want to say anything about Alan Wake 2 because I've not played it and I've been hearing universal praise for it. But if I had to choose it based on my current experience, Alan Wake wouldn't be there strictly because I don't have an opinion of it either way yet. And I would probably put in, oh God, what did come out this year? Has let me see.
There's so for me, while you kind of look up what you might replace him with, for me, I don't really have an opinion on Alan Wake 2 like you because I haven't played it. And Baldur's Gate 3, I haven't played. I'm pretty confident it's not really my thing. That doesn't mean it doesn't deserve to be there, of course. It's just not a game that personally appeals to me. But the three games, not that I expected to see them here, but that I would have liked to see get nominated, two of these three games maybe, Octopath Traveler 2, Hi-Fi Rush, and Street Fighter 6. I think all
Ooh,
three of
Street Fighter
those.
Six is a good one.
And Octopath 2, especially, again, it's not the kind of game that would typically ever make an appearance as a Game of the Year nominee. Fine, whatever. But it got completely snubbed. It was one of the very best JRPGs released this year, if not the best. And it got snubbed not only here, again, not surprising, but like best soundtrack. That is easily my favorite soundtrack of the year. And it didn't even get recognized. And I just feel like Octopath 2, nor for best RPG. And I don't know, Octopath 2 is the biggest overall disappointment to me that it didn't even get a single nod.
Yeah, that to me is wild. I've not played Octopath 2, but I've talked to you and I've talked to John about it. And again, it's one that I've been told like have to play it. I do want to address this from Dark Beandy about Fire Emblem Engage, and I know that Daniel would roast me for this, but man, it didn't click for me. And that was such a I think I was more gutted about that, and I'm gonna sound like I feel like Fire Emblem for me is one of those ones where I'm not maybe so much a fan of the series as I am certain games within it. Awakening was like one of my favorite 3DS games,
Me
just
too.
hands down. It was perfect. And I think that Three Houses was, I mean, I have a documented history of loving Three Houses. If you go back to GX, you can see me talking about it in 2019, where I said it was the game of the year that year. Going from what was one of my favorite Switch games to Engage, I just didn't like it. It didn't click for me the same way. I didn't get drawn in by the characters. Particularly, I don't love the main protagonist of Engage. Wish that it could have been something different, you know? And as Data Alpha Lion points out, I liked it so much I correctly predicted Byleth coming to Smash at some. I don't remember doing that, but I'll trust you. If it's a good one about me, I'll take it.
No, that's fair. And I hesitate to say this, and it's not nearly to the same degree. I would never say that Mario Wonder didn't click with me, because it did. I loved it. It was fantastic. But as happy as I am to see not only a 2D platformer, but as you said, one with that Nintendo childlike, happy, brightly colored energy make, one of the Game of the Year nominees, I don't know that I would personally nominate it as one of my games of the year.
Wow.
I loved it. I loved it, but it didn't really stick around in my mind for very long after I finished it. And I just kind of really enjoyed it and loved it while I was playing it, but it didn't have much of an impact on me, I have to say, beyond the time I was actually playing it. Whereas I'm still thinking about Hi-Fi Rush, and that came back out in January, back in January, something like that. So obviously that's more of a niche pick. That's not what would, be going out to the masses. But as happy as I am to see Mario Wonder here in an objective sense, I guess. Subjectively, I don't think I'd put it on my top six, personally. But I know that's a very unpopular opinion, so
I
I'm
mean,
going
I
for
can
that.
see it. I just think personally for me, if it got DLC, I'd be back in that game and run through it again.
Oh,
I've run through
same.
the whole game a few times already, but
I'll be back in a second for DLC. No, I loved it. It just didn't stick with me for whatever reason.
that's
So,
fair. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
But it'll be fun. We'll certainly be here reacting to the Game Awards and all the shenanigans. There'll be, as usual, probably some pretty hype moments, some cool announcements, stretched between an hour plus of just drudgery. And oh God, what are we doing? And can we just move on like we always do? But we'll have our world
Sure.
premiere counter. We're going to have a lot of fun. It's always a fun night with the Game Awards, and we'll be looking forward to reacting to those with you all as we have in previous years. Something that's a bit of a downer before we wrap up our news. Well, I have a bit of a downer thing, and then something that's really cool that I know you're super excited about, man. But the downer thing first, let's get out of the way. Sega's acting up again. Sega, they're union busting. They're engaging in bad faith bargaining and union busting, and basically making it very difficult for their unionized employees to feel like they have the job security they deserve. And I don't know that we have too much to say on this other than bad, Sega. Stop
Yeah,
doing that. Unions are good, but at the same time, we thought it was important to point out that this is happening, and that these people are fighting really hard for their livelihoods.
I think that union busting in, I mean, there's no way to defend it. It's indefensible behavior. Obviously, Sega employees deserve to be able to unionize the same way employees of any organization deserve to be able to without their corporate overlords interfering with it. It sucks to hear this. And I don't know. I mean, Sega just isn't what it was. I mean, I could do a whole thing about that, but I still love Sega games and I want to be able to enjoy those without pangs of guilt. So please just stop this shitty behavior. I don't need this. I don't need my games with this. Persona 5 Tactica came out today. God damn it, Sega. Stop.
Yeah. It's really, I mean, we're at the point now where you have to know, unless they're just so completely out of touch that they're, you know, ostriching it and just sticking their heads in the ground. You have to know, or you think they would have to know, that engaging in practices like this is not going to reflect well on them in 2023 and the tenure of the conversation around the state of the industry for where employees are concerned. You think they would have more situational awareness than that, to say nothing of just regular ass compassion for the people who work for them. But I know that's asking for way too much. Compassion is just not a popular thing these days. But it's really disappointing to see, because, like you said, I love Sega games. Hell, I love Sonic to death. But it's really, kind of a come down to earth moment where it's like, okay, yeah, you love these games and you love these characters, but they're the people behind them are being treated horribly. And it's just not something that can be defended.
Exactly. Unfortunately.
Yeah. So yeah, we just thought it was, obviously there's not too much to say other than don't do this, Sega, and stop being crappy. But, you know, we did think it was worth kind of mentioning that this is going on, and, you know, we want to show solidarity with, the unionized workers and everything they're going through. The last thing I want to talk about, and I posted this in our crew chat earlier today, man, and I knew you'd love it just as much as I do. Bandai Spirits are making a life-size Master Sword.
Yes!
I want this thing so much.
Yes, please.
I
mean, obviously, I'm not in Mesa anymore, so you can't see them all, but we all know from my former backdrop that I have kind of a thing for having an absurd amount of Master Sword collectibles.
Yeah. And I'm posting the news article in both our chats so people can see what we're talking about here. But yeah, I'm one of those, like, I don't have anything like that. I have I've come very close to buying like a life-size Keyblade or a life-size Master Sword from one of those. We've all seen the vendors at various anime conventions and stuff. And for whatever reason, I haven't, probably because I have too much stuff already. It's too much clutter. But man, I love the idea of owning one of these things. And the Master Sword, when you think of really cool ass swords to own that are, you know, notable from pop culture, I think the one I probably would want, the ones I would want most are the Master Sword and Cloud's Buster Sword.
Yeah. I've had Master Swords through the years. Like, mm-hmm. I had had one a long time ago and somebody stole my car and then ditched the car but kept the Master Sword, and I was more gutted about the sword than the car. Since then, I have made I've bought one that is metal that you guys have seen here if you're a long time viewer of GVG Cast. I've got one that I finished building just the other day. Let me see if I can grab it. Hold on.
It's really, you've definitely shown it off before, and I'm jealous every time I see it.
Yeah. So I got this bad boy right here. I'm pretty sure if I hit the power button, it's going to fart, though. Let's see. Yeah, it did. Okay.
Nice.
I'm horrible and I shouldn't be trusted, but
that's so good. I just would love to have like one of these things and just like a giant space, nobody around, no cameras, no one with cell phones, and just let me live out my fantasy of just swinging that thing around and acting like Link. That would be, I harbor a secret fantasy, or Sora. I just want to swing around the giant kingdom key and make all the different sounds and just be a kid again. Cause those things are so cool.
Oh yeah. I have like a list of people on Etsy that make props like this, but I will absolutely, I think they said, if I remember correctly, the Master Sword replica from Bandai is 30,000 yen, which traditionally would be like $300, about the cost of a Nintendo Switch. But I think right now, because of a very weak yen, it's like $160-ish. And I'm like, I need pre-orders to open for this, and I need to be able to pay for it now before Japan's economy gets fixed.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, just thought that was a fun upper to end our new segment on for the week. But before we move on to our patron topics, we do have a few more super chats, including another one from Disney Duncan for $5. Thank you, Duncan. NetherRealm said the Mortal Kombat 1 DLC timeline from what they heard is going to be Omni-Man, then, as we were saying, Quan Chi, Peacemaker, Ermac, Homelander, and then Takeda. So Quan Chi, if that's true, will indeed be next.
I've got to doubt it a little bit, and here's the reason why. I don't know why you end on a character like
I was going to
Takeda.
say, why would be Takeda? Yeah, it's
That's like a
why.
wet fart to go out on when you have someone like Homelander waiting.
That's like ending on that's like ending Fighters Pass 1 on Byleth levels of weird energy. It's like, why would you? Yeah.
Yeah, it's very bizarre. Could happen, maybe even will, but it just seems very, very odd for them to do.
I think either ending it on Peacemaker or Homelander
Ooh,
makes a lot more sense.
Peacemaker would be a good one to end on, especially because I think they got Cena to voice Peacemaker.
Oh, had
And
they already announced that? I wasn't sure.
I think I read it somewhere. I can't remember.
Okay. Well, hopefully so, because that's obviously key to the character. Next up, we have a $20 super chat from D. Thank you, D. And it's a just a really cute emoji of is that a lime? It's a giant lemon hugging what I think is a small lime. I'm not sure, but it's really cute, and we really appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Next up, we've got five more euro from Jackamon. Thank you again. A lot of people are saying Baldur's Gate 3 will sweep the game awards. Curious about your thoughts.
I
It
think
certainly
it
seems
will,
possible.
and I
Yeah,
think I'll be
it's.
really confused.
I don't get it personally. I'm not saying it's not an amazing game. It may not be for me. I'm sure it's awesome. But if Tears of the Kingdom gets completely shut out from awards because of Baldur's Gate, I can't say I understand it personally. I'm not going to be like toxically upset or anything and huffing and puffing around, but I. Tears of the Kingdom is such an incredible game that it's just hard for me to imagine that Baldur's Gate is so much better that it deserves to be a complete shutout. I'm not saying it shouldn't win, but it does feel like a Baldur's Gate sweep could be coming, and I don't get it.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but I guess we'll see. I need to
Yeah.
play it more. I'll give it a fair shake before the Game Awards, but I just don't know how it's going to I don't know how it's going to present something that to me would beat out like Tears of the Kingdom, Spider-Man 2, stuff like that. It's another one of those baffling Game Awards choices that I would just be like, "Well, it's the Game Awards, none of it matters." So
Yeah, exactly. All right, one more for now from Leona Kose, or Leona Kose, I hope I got that right. 149 Canadian, thank you very much, with just a really nice heart emoji. Well, thank you for that, Leona. Really appreciate you. And of course, for any other super chats that come in, I'll read them out toward the end of the show. But for now, it is time for our patron topics for the week. And as a reminder, we have a Patreon. Patreon.com/GBGaming, where if you support us at the producer tier or above, you can suggest topics just like the ones we're about to discuss right now. And you can also do that right here on YouTube members if you fancy that option instead. But either way, so kind of a weird thing to admit. So I don't know what happened, but last week, while you weren't here, Steve, it was me, Derek, and Daniel. And as usual, I had them go first. I usually go last. But for whatever reason, I just had a giant brain fart. And I didn't read out my topic. I just didn't do it. I was like, hey, I guess we're done. We'll see you next week. And I just forgot to do it. So I have two topics this week. I have my
All
one from
right.
last week, and I have one from this week. So I'll get us kicked off this week, and then I'll throw it over to you for yours. So my topic from last week, which I'm now doing finally this week, is from Andy Chung, who asks, or Dark B Andy, who asks, what are your guys' thoughts on VTubers? Do you enjoy them? Do you have any favorites? To me, they're great for entertainment and, in my opinion, help promote games. I have plenty, but for now, Gaurgura from Hololive and Silvervale and Silvervale, an independent Twitch VTuber. This question is related back to GVG Game Club, where you had a guest, Miss Fushi, and YouTube comments were all complaining about how weird and a creep she is, and I want to call them out on it. And I do too. That's primarily the reason I picked this. First of all, I like
Yeah.
VTubers. I think they're cool. We've had plenty of VTubers on our channel, but yeah, we have friends in the community who are VTubers. Get Mads, for example, he's a super cool guy and he's amazing in what he does.
Yeah.
And I am like, at first, I will admit I didn't get it. I was like, I did not like VTubers or VTubing, but I didn't quite get it. And then when we had Mads on and we had Fushi on and such, and I saw just the amount of crazy work and prep and multitasking that goes into being a VTuber, it completely turned me around on it. Again, I was never against it. I just didn't understand it. Now I'm like, it's so cool. And I can't imagine ever being able to do it myself because there's so much multitasking that goes on in the modeling for your character. And yeah, so that's just a long-winded way of saying I think VTubers are cool as hell. And I was not aware that there were so many rude comments about Fushi on that episode of Game Club. And I reject them all because Fushi is one of our very good friends.
Yeah.
And she's always welcome on the channel. We love her and we think she's an insanely talented VTuber. So I just wanted to make it very clear that's where we stand on that.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything weird about VTubers. I think that it is really hard, like what we
Yeah.
do here, to be on camera and to see your own face. Like I struggle with that still, even now. Having done this for 3 years now, I still struggle every time I have to make a video where you guys see me. And I think that for some people, that hurdle is a bit higher than it is for others. And it has nothing to do with your physical appearance or anything like that. It just has to do with your level of comfort. And I think that for some people, it's just that it enables them to be more authentic, to be their true selves, knowing that their physical appearance is not visible on camera. And I think for others, it's just, the technology and the artistry of it. I think it's really cool. I thought about doing it. It's way too much work for me to do. It's way too much
Same.
work for me. I'd rather just turn the camera on and worry about what I look like. But yeah, oh, we love our VTuber friends here. Get Mads, Fushi. They're all cool folks. And I think that it's a really interesting segment of the YouTube community or of the content creation community. And if that's what you're into, more power to you. I have nothing against them, and we have some pretty good friends that are doing it.
Yeah, and I can't cop to having like a bunch of favorite VTubers myself because I just frankly, I don't have that time to go watch a whole lot of other YouTube channels in my off time. So I'm just gonna punt and say my favorites are the ones that I know personally who are my friends, like Fushi and Mads. So
Yeah.
yeah, either way though, super talented people, and I can't imagine doing it myself. So thank you for that, Andy Chung, and sorry about for completely forgetting to do it last week. I don't know what happened. Steve, you are up, my man.
All right. Let me pull mine up. I know it's from Vidron, but I can't remember what he wrote. He wrote, what video game would be your first choice for a hypothetical movie adaptation and what style would it take? And dude, I have been yelling about this one for like years now. Smash, anime movie.
Oh yeah.
Give me a Smash anime where it's just like take the Palutena trailer and just make a whole
Make a
movie
whole,
like that.
yep. I mean that's pretty much all you really need right there. Completely agree. I was actually going to say that's always one of my answers, but that's a really good one. But for me, I'm going to say let's get Studio Trigger on a Mega Man X anime movie done in the style of the Day of Sigma, that anime short from Maverick Hunter X, because that anime short by itself proved how perfect, obvious, it's obvious, of course, but just how perfectly situated Mega Man X is for a really damn good shonen action anime. And if we could get a whole series or an anime movie done in that style, but with Studio Trigger's flair, oh my God.
Oh
Done.
man, you just
Done.
you know what? I'm gonna throw out a second one because I've been obvious about Smash being my pick. And I can't believe you didn't pick it. So I'm gonna throw it out there because I know you're gonna hop on this with me.
Oh, yeah.
Bird Studio and Toei doing a Chrono Trigger movie.
Oh, obviously. Hell
Yeah,
yes.
give me a Chrono Trigger movie. Like and recreate that perfect Toriyama art style for oh god damn. I just need I'm just thirsty for Chrono Trigger. I need something for these parched
God,
vocal
me
cords.
too. And hopefully now with Super Mario RPG having been remade, maybe Chrono Trigger can be next. We got Live Alive, we got Mario RPG, both seemingly impossible remakes to ever get. Maybe the door is being cracked slightly open for Chrono Trigger. Who knows, right?
Yeah, maybe.
But it's funny that I like this question because I actually almost got to, and some people already know this about me, but I actually almost got to work and be a producer on one of my own hypothetical dream movie game adaptations. And that is that during my time with Shifty Look, which is still one of the best jobs I've ever had in my life. I got to do pre-production on a Klonoa animated movie that, unfortunately, for various reasons I can't get into legally, didn't get off the ground, didn't get to be made. But not getting to make that movie is always going to be one of the biggest regrets of my career because what we had cooking was amazing. And if you love Klonoa like I do, it was like the dream animated movie adaptation of that series that you would want. It was so good.
I know you can't get into specifics.
Yeah.
And I know you're saying pre-production.
Uh-huh.
Outside of the context of Klonoa,
uh-huh,
what exactly does pre-production entail? And I'm going to have you hold that because that package I mentioned just arrived at my door.
Oh, okay, cool. So again, I can't get too much into it, but basically I was doing script editing on it, helping with various script revisions, basically taking, it wasn't my story. It wasn't me creating the story. It was someone else creating the story. And then my boss and I, you know, helping to, you know, kind of cut down the script a little bit to make it fit in an animated movie length format, punch up the dialogue a little. So I was doing what typically a producer would do, but yeah, I'm not saying that I was the writer of this story or anything. Don't get it twisted, but yeah, I can't say too much more than that. All I can say is if you know Klonoa and you love Klonoa and you get why the series is so beloved in terms of that, that kind of, that je ne sais quoi quality it has, where it's just a little bit sad, even though it's really cute and really colorful, there's that, that sense of sadness that kind of envelops everything Klonoa does and has to go through. This movie, or the script, I should say, absolutely captured that. And it is just a damn shame that, that it couldn't be made. But yeah, I can't say anything more than that. But it, I almost got to make a movie like that myself. And man, it would have been cool. Would have been cool. But yeah, so I do think that brings us to the end of that topic. Thank you so much. Then, of course, I did pick a second topic for this week because, like I said, the one I did before was last week's. So for this week, I picked Brandon Digwood's topic, who asks, I'm looking for a rhythm slash dance game on Switch that has a physical cartridge, and I'm hoping you can give me some suggestions. Just Dance 2024 being digital only is fine for my personal use, but the library system I work for has trouble with downloads. So we're looking for cartridges that have some songs on it if the Wi-Fi dies. Are there any suggestions you got, you guys could give me? So, yes and no. You said dance slash rhythm. And I don't know if you mean only dancing games, because if you do, I'm sorry to say that I looked into this and it's pretty slim pickings on the Switch. You basically have the Just Dance games, and then a couple of others I found are Zumba, Burn It Up, and JoJo Siwa Worldwide Party, neither of which I know anything about. So on the dance game side of things, I think you're kind of hosed unless you just stick with Just Dance. And I know that's not always the best option if you don't have Wi-Fi. But in terms of other music games, yes. I mean, if you don't care about dancing specifically, there's a great game that got a physical release years ago on Switch called Musynx. It's M-U-S-Y-N-X. And it's your pretty typical beat matching game with various like K-pop and J-pop songs, but it's really fun. And it's got really kind of snappy pick-up and play gameplay, various difficulty levels ranging from very easy to very hard. It's very approachable. So yeah, if you don't need to actually, if you're not worried about dancing specifically, and you're cool with just regular rhythm beat matching games, Musynx is available physically, and I highly recommend it. Also, a game that I've been playing this year nonstop that I love to death, and will definitely be, I'll be talking about come Game of the Year time, Theater Rhythm Final Bar Line. That's available physically. It's got tons of content, like 400 plus songs from across the Final Fantasy series that doesn't require DLC. You can add DLC, but even if you don't ever touch the DLC, there are hundreds and hundreds of songs that'll keep you busy forever. So those are two right there, Musynx and Theater Rhythm Final Bar Line. Both are available as physical cartridges on Switch. But yeah, if you're looking specifically for dance games, I think you're mostly kind of stuck with Just Dance from what I've been seeing. So yeah, Steve, you're back.
I am. I was going to open that box that I got cause I thought I knew what it was. And I'm glad I didn't do that cause it was a couple things that I can't talk about.
Oh, okay. Well, glad you didn't do that then. I finished talking about the Klonoa movie for your topic and can moved on to my,
wait. I need the scoop here. How?
Again. Okay.
Okay. Hold on. You can give me the Cliff Notes version. But
so basically I did things like passes on the scripts. Like I didn't write the story, but we had a mangaka who wrote the sure. story of this treatment. And so my boss and I helped massage that treatment, did script revisions, script edits, help punch up the dialogue a little bit, basically, you know, cut down the length because it had to fit within an animated movie's typical time format, and it was way too long originally, stuff like that. So
let me ask this. Let me ask this, because this is where I was angling with this. Do you think that let's just keep it outside of the realm of Klonoa for safety's sake. Something that reached as far as Klonoa did in production, do you think that there would be any lost media surrounding that treatment or that development?
If there is, it ain't going to come from me. That's all I'm saying. If there is, it could be out there. I'm not the only one who had access to that stuff. But
do you think any animations were made?
No, probably not beyond any animatics.
Ah, damn.
I don't think we ever got to that point.
Someday
I could be wrong. I could be, but I, even if it did, I don't think that it would, it was ever in a place where it got released publicly. That's just my guess.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I don't think it got released publicly at all, but you never, I'm thinking like 20 years from now, we'll find some evidence of this and I'll be like, I remember that.
I hope so. And actually, so we did get a link from Jackamon with a link to a Lost Media Wiki page. Yes, this is that project. And that this is about, yeah, I can't really say much more about it than this, but this is that project. And whoever wrote this wiki page knows their stuff, calling me a former Game Explain member and now creator of Good Vibes Gaming. Wow, they know they've done their homework. I like that. But that is what this is, but I can't talk about it more than that. So I can give you more than the Cliff Notes version later, Steve, if you want it, though.
Yes, I definitely. I don't want to be NDA'd on everything, but that's one I'm willing to accept.
Yeah. Going back to my topic about rhythm and dance games on the Switch that are available on physical cartridge, Fangs the Wolf, you mentioned Samba de Amigo. Is that available physically for Switch? I'm not sure, but even so, I don't know that I'd recommend it. It is available. I didn't like the demo, and I didn't like it when I played it at Anime Expo earlier this year either. It just felt like the motion controls were way too loose. I don't know that I'd personally recommend it, which is why I didn't say it. Boltmouse X, Taiko no Tatsujin Rhythm Festival, another great one. I didn't realize that was available physically, but if it is,
You need definitely to get that if you're interested too, because it's lost its licensing, and I believe it's being delisted from the eShop, and physical copies will no longer be sold after.
Right.
It may have already happened actually, but
it is. I just looked it up though. It is available physically, so there's that. And then one other I have to.
Oh, November 30th is when it goes down. So if
we'll get it now, if you're gonna.
Yeah, if you're gonna get it now, they said you'll still be able to buy DLC if you own the game. But if you don't own the game, you won't be able to buy it anywhere anymore. So
the other thing you can do is I would certainly always recommend Hatsune Miku Project Diva Megamix. I would recommend most Miku games. I'm a big Vocaloid fan. However, you can only get that physically in Japan, so you'd have to import it. But again, another great, it's obviously region free. It'll work with your Switch. And that's another great game to get that has a ton of content on the cartridge if you don't mind importing it. So yeah, those are three to five rhythm games that are available on Switch in physical format for you to pad out your collection with. Anything you want to mention on that front, Steven? I know you're not a big rhythm game guy.
But as far as rhythm games go, Taiko no Tatsujin is like it for me. I've been wanting to get back into DDR, but that's all on PC. That's not Switch.
Man, I wish I could have the time and like, frankly, money to go to the arcade like I used to all the time in my high school days and play in DDR tournaments. And I miss that.
Yeah, you know, I do want to bring up something, and I want to pull your opinion on this, because I've seen this making the rounds on Twitter today.
Okay.
The Splatoon 3 Deep Cut Amiibos finally came out, and people have gotten their hands on them, and Nintendo has changed the copy on the back of the boxes. It no longer references any hardware. It doesn't reference the Switch
either. Oh.
And so it's just like, hold on, I'm going to hold it up to the camera. Hopefully y'all can see. This is from community member Azran127. That is a horrible, horrible way for it to look. It's really washed out. Let me see if I can fix it. Let's see.
A little better. Okay.
So it's just like, use amiibo accessories in many compatible games. And it's just like, yeah, it's they're amiibos. They do stuff. And that's all it says. It doesn't tell you what games. It doesn't tell you what hardware amiibo work with. Older ones used to have the Wii U and 3DS and more recent ones had the Switch. In fact, I'm pretty sure even the Ganon and Zelda amiibos that just came out had Switch stuff on the back. Mm-hmm. So now they're just blank. They don't have anything. People are taking this as rumor that, you know, the Switch 2 is coming, and that this kind of confirms compatibility with the next gen console, which, I'll be honest, I've been on the amiibo compatibility train because I've been on the backwards compatibility train for years now. So I don't think this changes anything. I think this is just Nintendo's not ready to pull the trigger on the Switch 2. And I again believe that the Switch 2 was delayed like by over a year because of just the 2020 chip shortage that really screwed everything.
And COVID on top of that too.
Yep. So I think Splatoon 3, as people thought at the time, was originally meant to be a Switch 2 game. And just everything shifted and Nintendo had to kind of regroup and do all this stuff. And maybe this is just a knock-on effect from that. They thought by now they'd be shipping Switch 2 stuff and Switch 2 games, and packaging changed, and they had to probably just cut out a bit about the Switch 2 and just leave what looks like an unfinished package on the back.
I mean, if we had a Switch 2 announcement for every little thing kind of exactly like this that has happened, where people are like, oh, that means it's coming, we would have had the Switch 2 announced like 12 times by now, at least.
That is true.
There's no doubt, of course. Obviously, the Switch 2 is coming. I think it's going to get announced next year, but I don't think that this specifically is indicative of an announcement right around the corner. Like, I don't think it's going to be announced at the Game Awards, for example. Like, nothing
no,
like that.
No, Nintendo no. Nintendo would never. No. I firmly believe that. I think we're too far into the year for it to happen in spring, like it did with the Switch 1. But I definitely think we're getting it in the fall or the winter of 2024.
I think that sounds solid to me.
Yeah, I think it'll get announced in the spring, because at this point, Switch has lost enough momentum because it sold through so many units that they're not going to hurt themselves by, if anything, announcing it in advance will take some of the wind out of PS5 and Xbox sales, you know, as people go, oh, well, this is a brand new console coming out this year versus these 4-year-old consoles.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know, but I mean, we are in uncharted territory. The Switch is older now than the PS4 was when we had info about the PS5. So like we knew what the PS5 looked like, when it would come out, and what it cost by this point in the in its life cycle. So we're Nintendo is kind of breaking into the blue ocean of just letting hardware hang out for as long as it wants. But anyway, I'll talk more about that. Our Patreon exclusive Nintendo podcast is coming back this week. I'll be recording one tonight for y'all, and we'll go full tinfoil hat on Switch 2 conspiracy theories there.
I do often forget just how old Switch is. It's easy for me to forget sometimes that we're like, man, this thing is actually 7 years old. We're coming up on the 5th anniversary of Smash Brothers Ultimate. How is that possible? That just doesn't even make sense to me, man. The whole timeline surrounding the Switch and how long it's actually been around versus how long it feels like it's been around, it just doesn't comport with me. It's weird. But as you said, we're in uncharted territory.
Yeah, it's a weird time to be a Nintendo fan. Like, Nintendo's on top, and they're just not wanting to rock that boat at all.
Yeah.
Like, let's just keep putting games out until everyone's Switch explodes, and then we'll come out with something new.
Exactly. All right, well, we've got a few more Super Chats to read out here, then we'll go ahead and head out to our patron-exclusive post-show. First, we have four more Super Chats from Disney Duncan for a total of $14. Thank you so much. I'm just going to rattle these off. First of all, they think the villain from the Thanksgiving movie would be a great addition to Mortal Kombat 1. I haven't seen it, but I've seen the trailer. Maybe.
Would be funny.
Yes. Yeah. And then asking if My Little Pony were to have a gaming crossover, what would we choose? Bugsnacks?
Animal Crossing. I just want the one human to be like, get a job.
Yeah.
Get a job. Fly my plane, pony.
I know absolutely nothing about MLP. So yeah, Bugsnacks, Animal Crossing, sure. Works for me. Hello Kitty Island Adventure. There we go. There's some extra chaos in there. And then tonight they're seeing the Hunger Games prequel. Anyone else seeing it? I'm not seeing it tonight, but my wife is really excited about it, so we're going to see it next week.
I'll eventually see it. I've seen the other Hunger Game movies. I didn't think they were bad at all. Just
yeah,
probably
like
not going to be a theater viewing for me. I'll wait for it to come to streaming or something.
But yeah, we try to see the bigger movies on their release day. Like, we saw the Marvels last Friday. Really enjoyed it.
Oh, I want to see that.
Dude, it's so good. It's so much fun. It's just a fun time. But yeah, for Hunger Games, we have other plans tonight, so we can't go see it. But we're going to go do it next week for sure. And then Steve, he's asking, have you tried Omni-Man yet in Mortal Kombat 1? He's Duncan's main.
Yeah, Omni-Man is really tricky. Got lots of mix-ups, lots of cool tech. You know, I'm not a competitive MK1 player, but I will say Omni-Man is, he feels almost broken with how much mobility he has. But if you saw on my Twitter, I posted his fatality, which is
amazing.
And I actually mentioned in the Portal review that one of the first things I did was play Omni-Man, but YouTube is really, really precious about Mortal Kombat footage specifically. So that's why we didn't have a review up, because it would get demonetized and it actually hurts our recommendations. I did this like montage of violence for our preview and it screwed us big time. It was a huge mistake, but I had a lot of fun making it. Like, go back and watch that, because YouTube will never show it to you on purpose, but find it. Mm-hmm. And like the first 10 seconds is me just syncing like violence to the beat of the music. Anyway, but yeah, Omni-Man's good. I played it on the Portal initially. He's a really good character. But yeah, good luck finding him on GVG, because YouTube will bury him if I put him there.
Yeah, yeah. Next up, we've got $5 from our good friend Aramis Baramis.
Hey!
Thank you so much, Aramis. Hey, GVG crew, when is the last time you physically taken notes for a game? Could be a map, a code, a clue for a puzzle, or just stuff to remember. Actually, very recently, I had to take notes for a post-game quest in Sea of Stars, just a couple of months ago, so... Sea of Stars.
Notes are part of my process, actually. Like, if I'm reviewing a game, like when I did Spider-Man 2, I had a notepad with me, because it's really hard. I don't like to have a laptop or an iPad on my lap while I'm playing, because I get into it and I flail. And so usually I'll have like a pen and paper nearby, and I will write out notes, and then I'll go back and I'll transpose those notes when I'm done with my session. And then by the time it comes time to write the script, I have like a bulleted list of stuff I really wanted to mention about the game, whether it's like, hey, I saw visual glitches here, there was stutter here, or holy shit, Venom, you know, stuff like that. So it runs the gamut of just things that I remember need to be discussed in the script for a video. So honestly, I started that back when I was holding a baby and playing a game at the same time, so it's just kind of carried through the years.
So I kind of assume they meant not including review type notes, but if we're counting that, basically any game I'm going to talk about on the channel, I don't write down notes. I typically use the notes app on my phone, but like when I was playing Sonic Superstars for my review discussion with Derek, I was constantly pausing and, you know, putting down notes about what I wanted to cover in that discussion with Derek about Sonic. But I assume you meant map,
yeah, that's true,
or code, like, stuff.
Physically, like just for gameplay purposes, almost never. The last time I remember doing that was as a kid in the 80s with Phantasy Star 1, where my brother and I, I got all excited and I hit my mic. My brother and I got graph paper and made dungeon maps so we could figure out where we'd been and where we were going. I wish I still had those. Those would have been cool to like frame up years later, but they're gone.
I don't typically
now.
Do it often, but Sea of Stars just happened to be one thing where I needed to actually write something down to find my way through a maze. And that was pretty cool. Kind of reminded me of the old days. That was nice. And then actually one more super chat from you, Aramis, for $2. Thank you so much. Saying, I can't not say this. Old School Musical is great. I will take your word for it.
I don't know what Old School Musical is. Is that like a movie?
Yeah. Is it a movie? A game? Let's see. It is a game. It's Old School Musical on Steam. 60 amazing chiptune tracks, a loony story mode, 50 or 32 different chicken types to fight. This sounds like I'd love this game.
Yeah, what?
What is this nonsense? Oh, it's for Switch as well. Well, okay, a rhythm game full of chiptunes?
$12 on Switch. I may just have to grab that.
Oh, you may have made a new fan out of this game, Aramis. I had not heard of this, but now I need to try it. I will certainly be at least watching the trailer. Thank you for the heads up. I'd never heard of this, and I'm a big rhythm game fan, and I hadn't heard of it, so thank you. All right, one more super chat for today, and then we will call it.
Uh-oh.
Asking, Home Alone 3 or Santa Claus 3, The Escape Clause? I have only seen Home Alone 3. I have not seen any of the Santa Claus movies, so I guess my vote by default has to go for Home Alone 3, even though it's not a good movie.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I don't think I've seen Santa Claus 3. So
yeah,
Home Alone 3 it is. Whoops.
There we go. All right then. Well, that, as they say, is that. That brings us to the end of GVG Cast episode 81. Thank you all so much for being here with us. You know, we love doing this with you every single week, and it is our great honor and privilege to be able to do that. As always, we have to give a special shout out to all of our patrons. Without you, we could not keep the lights on. So thank you very much. And also, as always, we have to give an extra special shout out to all of our patrons at the executive producer tier and above. And those fine, amazing, incredible people include Brandon Bovia, Cutie Caitlin, Fangs, Z Patty, Sky Blue Flames, Eastman 23, Adam O'Sullivan, Richard Herrera, Logan Daniel, The D-Pad, Blake, Joy Content, Angel Martinez, Vedron, Joshua Hunter, Benny Yao, Azran 127, Black King, Joseph Rutkin, Geeky Griffin, Lucky Wonderfish, Wataniac, Top Dog 23100, Young Ben Kenobi, Andrew Medeiros, Darchi, Becca, Michael McCaw, Matthew Wong, Goron Amber CPHT, Too Much Spaghetti, Bane 400, Ascaron 809, Ryaner, Rain and Clouds, The Game Orb, Super Gamer Dude 101, Grantles, Ravelox, Rosa Pardo Bowling,
Hi Mom,
Skull Kid Tiger, Dark Steel 01, Jason Uloa, Jaden Buck, Cystic Warrior 29, DJ Jurassic, Derek, Colin, Blaystar 25, Mumbling Yeti, Cameron Sharp, Keel, Brendan Hesse, Hustlebun, Noah Fitterer, Calvin Atkinson, Brainchild, The Entire State of Wisconsin, Jim Wakelin, Aramis Baramis, Kyle the Monarch, Dat Alpha Lion, Lord Metarex, Blaze Collard, Eric, Cat Eevee Person 5, Peyton Thiel, Mega Beatman True Blue Reviews, Ryan Hanley, The Game Jamie, Alex, and last but certainly not least, Zombie Joe. Thank you all so much. We are headed out to our patron exclusive post show. We hope you have an amazing Friday night, an amazing weekend, and we will see you next time for episode 82. Good night and good vibes. Bye, everybody.
Bye.